from Joseph Sheehan. He says, "You can stutter your way out of this problem."
Hey everyone, welcome to Stutter Talk, episode 291 for July 31st, 2011. As always, starting with some good voluntary stuttering. I am your host, Peter Reitzes, here with Joel Corti, B-Team co-host. How's it going, Joel?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling good about the things in my life right now. So I'm happy.
Awesome. Let's remind everyone that Joel Corti, as I said, is a B-Team co-host. As a person who stutters and attends a master's program for speech language pathology at the University of Minnesota. And you have an undergraduate degree in electrical engineering, and you currently work for ZVEX Effects. How do you say that company's name?
It's just pronounced ZVEX Effects.
ZVEX Effects. That is one of the hippest jobs ever. You actually make grown-up toys. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Actually, just an hour or so ago, I've been screwing around with the idea of designing a delay pedal. So we, because we have that in our line of pedals right now, and that's been pretty exciting to just do some experiments with that.
Love
the time
delay.
Flies by. Yeah.
I think a delay pedal is, if I could only have one effects pedal, it would be a distortion pedal. But the second one, Joel, the second one would be a delay pedal.
Oh, there's so much fun.
Yeah. There's so much fun. So let's make a couple quick announcements. iTunes, Stutter Talk listeners, we get about 600,000, that's 500,000 downloads and plays a year. And we should be better represented on iTunes. So go to your iTunes account, do a search on Stutter Talk, and leave a comment about what Stutter Talk means to you. Joel, I don't think there's one comment there about how awesome the B-Team is.
Uh-oh.
And you guys are wildly popular. When the B-Team does a show, we get tons of emails saying we love the B-Team. You know, the cool thing about that is if people leave more comments on iTunes, that raises Stutter Talk's stature in iTunes, which means that more people will potentially learn about Stutter Talk and learn about stuttering. I also wanted to mention that we don't do this often, but let's just remind the listeners that Stutter Talk is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we do accept donations. Yesterday, Stutter Talk was invited by Taro Alexander at our time to spend a few days at the camp and to do some recordings with the children and with the teens. And to do that, I actually just purchased for Stutter Talk an Olympus linear recorder. That's an LS11. And we're going to have to rent a car and possibly rent a hotel room. So bringing you these shows from the NSA and from our time costs money. Please consider a donation to Stutter Talk. If you go to stuttertalk.com, you can click on the yellow donate button and help make more Stutter Talk shows possible. All right, Joel, you ready for some stuttering topics?
Absolutely.
So about a week ago or so, you posted something on Facebook and you wrote, and I'm going to quote, getting, well, this was like one of those Facebook topics that just kept popping up. People kept commenting and recommenting.
Yeah.
So you wrote, getting obsessed with Joseph Sheehan's writings. As a stutterer, I'd say it's sort of analogous to when a young musician discovers the Beatles. what is Beatlesque about Joseph Sheehan?
Wow. This all kind of started for me, this interest in Joseph Sheehan, actually at the NSA conference when I went to a workshop by Vivian Siskin on avoidance reduction therapy, and I just started to get interested in these ideas. So naturally, when I was Googling and searching for this stuff, Joseph Sheehan's name was popped up, where it was popping up. And of course, I've had some exposure to different things Joseph Sheehan has written about, like the iceberg analogy and things like that. But I've never really sat down and read extensively about him, which I'm starting to do now. And yeah, it's just it's I felt like it was sort of analogous to quote unquote discovering the Beatles, because a lot of times as a musician, when you're growing up listening to pop music or whatever, there becomes that inevitable moment where you start to listen to the Beatles and you're just kind of like, oh my God, these guys are incredible. The songs they wrote were incredible, and of course these songs have existed long before you started to listen to them, and countless other people have been inspired by them. And I just kind of felt that same way when I was starting to read this Joseph Sheehan stuff, because a lot of it is from such a long time ago, and I hadn't really been fully exposed to it yet. So I was just having that same kind of a feeling.
Well, I could really tell that you've been on fire recently, because you sent me an email. We were going back and forth on something, and it's one of those times where I said, I got to get him on Stutter Talk. You wrote, I'm going to quote you here, Joel. You said, I think most importantly, this Sheehan stuff has given me the freedom to be a stutterer all the time. I mean, what's the change? Like, how did you get to that point where you have this freedom?
Well, you know, sometimes when I think about that, or even when I was writing about it, it almost sounds a little silly to me, because of course I'm on Stutter Talk. I do the B Team shows. I talk about stuttering all the time, but yet I've noticed when I was reading this stuff that there's still lots of situations where I'm not necessarily hiding the stuttering. Like, I'm still stuttering noticeably, significantly, with a lot of tension, and other people know that I stutter. It's not a secret or a mystery or anything like that, but going into the situation, I'm still not either expecting that I'm going to stutter, or still really comfortable with this idea that I'm going to be stuttering, and I can tell that when I am having some extended periods of fluency that I'm kind of putting that fluency up on a pedestal and holding it in higher esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, please go ahead.
Well, no, I keep thinking about it, and I'm finding that now when I'm going into every single situation, regardless of what it is, and I'm telling myself I'm a stutterer. So it's like, it's not that I'm okay with stuttering in one circumstance and not in the other. It's that I'm telling myself that I'm a stutterer all the time. And it sounds simple, and it seems like something I should have embraced a long time ago, but for some reason it feels novel to me, and it feels really, really helpful, and I'm feeling some freedom.
Well, I know you've been reading some of Joseph Sheehan's work in the Stuttering Foundation books in those chapters, which, you know, that stuff is just classic. And, you know, he says in different ways that if you don't face your fears of stuttering, you'll never know what the real reality is of stuttering publicly. You know, you'll never really know what that's like. And it sounds like, I don't want to read into it too much, but it sounds like you're allowing yourself to, as they say, touch the hot stove, to really put yourself out there and create your own reality.
I think the thing for me that's been especially new in the last few weeks is that I've been not only allowing myself to stutter, but allowing myself to do it a little differently than is my normal stuttering pattern, where I feel like that's like a whole separate level of exploration and discovering is the one, just to allow your stuttering to happen and to come out, but then at the same time being open to having it sound differently than it normally does, and allowing it to possibly be a little different.
So, I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is you're accepting your stuttering, and you're accepting that you can stutter differently too.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So much to talk about here, Joel. You mentioned to me that you've been going through some of the recordings at the Stuttering homepage, stutteringhomepage.com, the wonderful site run by Judy Custer. And you sent me a link for a recording by somebody named Thomas Alexander from 1968. Let's listen to an edited clip from that recording.
And presently I judge my recovery in terms of my ability to do these three things. The first is to accept the fact of my stuttering. The second is to learn how to do the stuttering in a way that is acceptable to myself and to my audience. And the third is to be willing at all times to do as much of the stuttering as I have to do in a particular situation. Because if my aim is fluency, certain situations I discovered that I was just not going to be able to be fluent. But the thing I could do in this situation was just go into it and do as much stuttering as I had to do. And if I were able, even in these bad situations, to do the kind of stuttering that I had determined before that I would do, I considered it a success.
So as we just heard, Thomas Alexander listed three things that he's been working on for his stuttering, but I really think you're focusing on the third one, where he said that he needs to be willing at all times to stutter in different situations. Why is that powerful for you right now?
Yeah, that one was just huge for me to hear. And first of all, I just have to thank who I know is a regular Stutter Talk listener, Elliot, who turned me on to this speech by Thomas Alexander in the comments section of that Facebook status update that you referenced earlier. And first of all, I love the way that this guy stutters, this Thomas Alexander, and it really clicks for me when I'm kind of allowing myself to stutter a little differently and stutter with some more prolongation, because for some reason it just feels a little bit better to me. And but specifically getting back to your initial point, when you're talking about how he essentially he is going to allow himself to stutter as much as he needs to, depending on the situation, I can just relate to that on so many levels. And even this last weekend when I was at a family reunion, and I was excited about it because I knew that I was going to be kind of applying some of these new principles in my communication. And I was talking to, you know, some family that I'd never met before. And I knew that in these situations, I was going to need to stutter a lot. And, you know, just going into a situation and consciously setting yourself up, the criterion for success is to allow yourself to stutter as much as you need to stutter. And that's what's positive. And when you reflect back on the experience, you think positively about the fact that you allowed yourself to stutter as much as was necessary. Like, that's just a new concept for me. I mean, it doesn't seem like it should be a new concept for me, but it is.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me, because I know that you've been exposed to this idea of voluntary stuttering and being open with stuttering. So, I mean, is it a new concept, or has something occurred recently that's helping you get there, that has helped you get to the point where you really do want to stutter, not only when it comes naturally, but on purpose to get it out there?
Yeah, there's just been something recently that for some reason has just kind of clicked a little extra for me, where I just feel ready to just take another step forward into the unknown with my stuttering and try to do it in a little different fashion than I otherwise might normally do, and it feels good. So I feel like that's kind of how I gauge things sometimes, is, you know, you'll take those little steps into the unknown, like you've talked about before when describing acceptance on the show, and you just Sure. Kind of like, you kind of put your toe in the water and see how it feels. And I mean, basically exactly what this guy Thomas Alexander is saying, that allowing myself to and truly understanding that it's a positive, good thing to be allowing myself to stutter as much as I need to, and to be stuttering in a way that, like he says, makes myself feel comfortable as well as the audience. I for some reason right now, that it just feels really powerful to me.
I just want to remind everyone, Stutter Talk, Peter Reitz is here with Joel Cordy. Joel, the milkman of human kindness, Cordy.
How did you come up with that one?
You know, that was one of my favorite Billy Bragg songs. And you're just one of your kindest people I know. So it just seems to work for you, Joel. You just have a pure heart. So
thanks, man.
Sure. From a stutterer's perspective, from a therapist's perspective, from a self-help perspective, it just sounds like you've intellectually known for some time that there are things that you need to do. And I'm so interested to figure out how you got from that intellectual stage to that actualization stage, to actually deciding, I'm not only do I need to stutter a lot, but I'm gonna stutter a lot. I'd love to be able to figure out how you got there.
I think one thing that's been really tough for me is that I always have wanted to know what the right thing is to do with managing your stuttering. And at different periods of my life when I've been exposed to different things, that has changed. So when I went through a period where I was getting fluency-shaping therapy, I thought I knew the right way to handle my stuttering all the time. And then as I worked on that, learned more about myself and learned more about my stuttering, I learned that wasn't working for me at all. And then still, there's all these conflicting pressures that you should be going about it, doing it this way, or you should be doing it that way. And I think for a long time, what just felt really right is to just kind of not do anything, in the sense that I needed to get really comfortable with myself and just really comfortable with being a person who stutters and getting comfortable with my normal habitual stuttering patterns that have been a part of my life over the last couple of years. And I think what's happening to me now is when I'm reading some of this avoidance reduction stuff and Joseph Sheehan stuff, is that for me, it seems like it applies just right for me. And how I've, the opinions I've formed about stuttering and how it affects me and all of that stuff. So I'm sure you can relate to this. When you read things that other people who stutter have experienced, and it just seems so directly applicable to your situation. It's just kind of mind blowing. So yeah. then when you know, you read something that, and someone's saying, well, you know, you should be doing this, or not even necessarily that you should be doing anything, but this is a good productive way to tackle this issue, and everything seems so logical that you just get really excited about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And Joseph Sheehan is a beautiful writer, and he says things that I may refer to in my mind as basic truths about stuttering, but he says it so convincingly and so passionately and so clearly that it's a pleasure to read. And, you know, Joel, we had talked about choosing one of his articles as the resource of the month at Stutter Talk. Maybe we should just make the man, Joseph Sheehan, the resource of the month and just put up all the links we can to his work.
Yeah, you know, that's something that's really interesting you bring up, because on that same Facebook conversation, regular Stutter Talk listener and contributor Ari was making a lot of posts. So I've recently become friends with him on Facebook. And one thing he was interested in was finding some more Joseph Sheehan materials. And of course, the Stuttering homepage has a bibliography. And I posted that. And there's so much stuff on there, and some of it's probably really hard to find. But I think he has just done so much stuttering related things over the course of his life. It is inspiring as well.
So yeah, so what, this will be episode 291, and we'll try to link as many Joseph Sheehan resources as we can. There are some, like I know his chapter in Advice to Those Who Stutter in the Stuttering Foundation book. That's freely available online, but a lot of it will not be freely available. So we'll just put up a bunch of links, and it's really powerful stuff. One more thing before the break. You sent me the link to the Thomas Alexander audio file from the Stuttering homepage, and I must admit, I've never listened to it until just now, or until last night, and there was one quote from it I really enjoyed, so let's listen to it now.
The therapy emphasized that some of the things that I was doing to keep from stuttering were the things that had the greatest social consequence. For instance, in my blinking my eyes and patting my feet and doing all these things determined not to stutter, that they were in truth the things that comprised my stuttering.
So Mr. Alexander said, I think this is an exact quote or pretty close to it, some of the things I was doing to keep from stuttering were the things that had the greatest social consequence. I just think that's so important that, you know, some of us, I dare say we, I say we because it just seems to fit so many of us people who stutter, in the things we do to avoid stuttering often is the biggest problem. And, you know, on a very personal level, all those years I spent being covert about my stuttering, it was all those covert behaviors that caused the greatest mayhem.
Yeah, it is. It is so true. And I think that idea is really the whole crux behind all of this Joseph Sheehan stuff. And I completely agree with you that for me, all this stuff I've done to try to avoid stuttering, especially several years ago, were the things that were the big problems.
Mm. Yes, me too. So it's a good time to take a break. During the last episode, I mentioned that getting me through these hot summer months is the new self-titled album by Bon Iver, if I'm saying the name of the band correctly. What's getting you through these hot summer months? And we'll try to use that song or that band as we come in from the break.
Yeah, one local Minneapolis band that my band's been playing with relatively regularly. I think we've had a few shows with them in the last few months. Is this band called Little Man, and lead singer Chris is really short. He's 5'2" tall, and he's just this incredible rocker. And he recently, his band came out with a EP called Orbital Amusement, and I've been listening to that over the last few months pretty regularly.
So you can send me a track from that, and
yes,
we'll use that coming back in from the break.
Hi folks, I'm Mel Tennis, and nobody knows better than I do how stuttering affects your life. But help is only a phone call away. Just contact the Stuttering Foundation of America at their toll-free number, 1-800-992-9392.
Hi, this is Phil Schneider, speech-language pathologist, and I've been very involved in the issue of stuttering for about 39 years now, and my life has recently been enriched by an incredible vehicle for learning and developing a vast perspective, all in the comfort of my home, or while driving in my car, or while taking a walk in the woods. All I have to do is connect to stuttertalk.com, and I feel supported by a community of people who deal with this issue professionally, who struggle with this issue, who are challenged with this issue, who care about people who are, and it just broadens my perspective, and it gives me lots of food for thought in an enjoyable, relaxing, comfortable, and convenient way. And I want to be a part of making sure this open, candid, meaningful dialogue continues for years, and that people all over this country and all over the world get this and can hear it and can participate. So I feel privileged to be able to participate and become a shareholder in StutterTalk.com. And I've opened up the website, stuttertalk.com, and gone to that donate button so that I can be a partner in helping to make this happen.
Well, welcome back to Stutter Talk. Peter Wrights is here with Joel, the milkman of stuttering kindness, Corte. Stutter Talk can be contacted 206-666-5340, stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. I loved on the B-Team, first of all, thank you so much. Those are such great shows the B-Team did at the National Stuttering Association Conference. Just wonderful.
Oh, yeah, man. It was our pleasure. We had such a good time doing it. One thing I just wanted to say real quickly about that song we just listened to is that I talked about this on Stutter Talk before, but that lead singer Chris has always been really, really nice to talk to about stuttering, you know, because it's always hard to sort of talk about stuttering with people that aren't necessarily immediately interested in it, especially other people you perceive to be as like really cool or whatever. But
yeah,
there's been plenty of times at shows or whatever we've had some pretty cool discussions about stuttering. I think I've talked about it before on a B-Team show as well.
Oh, I love hearing stories like that. It's really nice to be able to count on several people who are good listeners, and that's great, man. So Little Man is a stutter friendly band.
Yes.
All right. So let's get into some more of the Joseph Sheehan stuff. In Advice to Those Who Stutter, book by the Stuttering Foundation of America, there's 20 some chapters, and they're all very easily accessible, and one of them is by Joseph Sheehan. It's titled Message to a Stutterer. I want to read you one of, I think, the most compelling quotes from that chapter to get your feedback on it.
Absolutely.
Okay. As I open my book, here is what Joseph Sheehan said. Here are two principles which you can use to your advantage once you understand them. They are: one, your stuttering doesn't hurt you. Two, your fluency doesn't do you any good. There's nothing to be ashamed of when you stutter, and there's nothing to be proud of when you are fluent. Does that speak to you at all, Joel?
This is so funny, Peter, as is what often happens. You know, of course, I read this article, and that was one of the things I wrote down that I especially liked. The article. But, you know, it's... You know, there's the part of it that says your stuttering doesn't hurt you. There's nothing to be ashamed of when you stutter. And that, I feel like those are things that you've heard over the course of your life from different people. So it's almost like those statements kind of lose their wow factor after a while, just because, you know, you hear them so many times. But the parts that I just love about this passage is the one that your fluency doesn't do you any good. And then there's nothing to be proud of when you are fluent. And, oh, there's just stuff like that just makes me think this guy just like really, really knew something that was hard for other people to grasp. And that's, yeah, there's nothing to be proud of when you are fluent. I don't even really know what to say besides that. I just think that's an amazing observation.
Well, I love it because it just really takes a stand against the fluency bigots and against your own possible beliefs that when you wake up and you're not stuttering, you've somehow done something good. Because I had those days where, yeah, you know, you don't stutter for a couple of days and you might mislead yourself into believing that you've earned something.
Yeah.
And then folks will talk about, and I know Joseph Sheehan talks about this, they'll talk about recovery. And it's like, well, stuttering's variable. If you have a lucky streak, you're not recovered. You're just being proud of something that you had no control over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also, I don't think this is cited specifically in the article, but, you know, I think he also touches on that there's nothing to be ashamed of when you are fluent, because, you know, we've all felt that before, too, I think, where if you do have some, whatever, lucky fluency or whatever you want to call it, I mean, okay, so your stuttering isn't happening. You know, that's, you shouldn't be ashamed of that either. You know, it's just part of it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think it's very grounding stuff, and maybe it's obvious, maybe it's not, but I don't want to say if you earn fluency, because I hate using the word fluency, but if you do a lot of work on your speech and you earn a level of, well, geez, I don't know what word to pick. I don't like control. I don't like fluency. If you earn a level of working with your stuttering that enables you to communicate as well as you would like or pretty close to it, I think that's something to be very proud of. If you put yourself in a situation where you stutter hard and you're not able to control it as well as you would like, that's something to be proud about. But, you know, waking up and not stuttering just because that's how you woke up that day, I think Joseph Sheehan's right. That's not something to be proud of.
Yeah.
It might feel good, but, you know, it's not like you earned something with it.
And just going back to that Thomas Alexander speech, and this was another thing that Elliot commented on in that Facebook conversation, is that he uses that speech as a baseline for how he should be stuttering. And when I listen to that speech and I listen to the way this guy stutters, he stutters so well, you know? He just really, really stutters well. And I think that, you know, when you listen to that and you hear stuttering, and it's, at least to my ears, such productive stuttering, and that's positive, and, you know, that's something to be proud of. Like, that's really cool for me.
And I really, in that speech that the listeners haven't heard the whole speech, but he has some pretty good moments of stuttering.
Yeah.
And by good, I mean stuttering pretty hard for long durations. And I frankly can't tell if that's real stuttering or voluntary stuttering, because he's speaking in front of a large group of people and he's so wise about stuttering. I wouldn't be surprised that some of that was fake stuttering just to make a point.
Yeah, and there's even one part where when he's talking about that thing we were talking about earlier, where he talks about that he needs to be willing to stutter as much as necessary for the situation or something like that. And right when he gets to that point, I think he hits or either does a voluntary stutter to just, or it's a real stutter, but I think there might be an element even there where he was just reminding himself that I can stutter for as long as I need to.
Yeah, I actually had the same exact thought. I thought if that's not a voluntary stutter, well, he would know to put one there anyway. So
yeah.
So this is Stutter Talk, speaking with Joel Corday, B-Team co-host extraordinaire. Joel, you had mentioned to me in an email that you've really been inspired or interested in this giant in chains idea by Joseph Sheehan. What is the giants in chains complex or idea?
From my understanding, it's this idea that it is common for stutterers to have when we're really struggling, that if only we didn't stutter, all our problems would go away. We're essentially a giant in chains where we would be able to do all these amazing things and live this amazing life if only we didn't stutter, which of course isn't true, but I've certainly felt like that in my life, and I've never really seen someone explore it to the extent that I've been reading about it with Joseph Sheehan. So for some reason it's, and just this idea of, you know, the giant in chains is just really captivating to me.
Well, let me ask you a personal question, but I'm thinking that maybe by reading it, you're looking into your own life. I mean, do you think there are aspects of your life that are preventing you from being the person you want to be, that maybe at one point you would have thought it was all stuttering, but now perhaps you're realizing there's some other things you need to work on?
Absolutely. And as I've been coming out of my stuttering shell over the last few years, and even just small things like I don't really like to talk on the phone. You know, this is small, but I just always assumed that it was because of stuttering that's what was preventing me from picking up and calling someone just to catch up and talk. But now, as stuttering has become less and less of a barrier in my life, I'm finding that I just don't really enjoy holding a device up to my face and trying to have a connection with someone all the time. And then there's other more serious things as well, like even going to a party or a gathering where I don't know a lot of people. I think that I always assumed that any uncomfortable feelings that I had in situations like that was just totally because I stutter. And again, these are things that, certainly they're linked to stuttering in some regards, but I feel like as you kind of wade through a lot of the barriers that stuttering has placed on your life, you notice that, a lot of the problems that you've had in the past, they might not be there to the same extent, but it's not like you don't have any problems anymore.
Wow, man, I think that's really, I don't know if I should say helpful or insightful or just powerful, but that's really great stuff. In my own life, I think that I also blamed my stuttering for a lot of issues. And when I started seeing a speech therapist, somehow I started making connections, and I realized that there were certain personal relationships I needed to work harder on. I needed to work harder on my fitness, and there was no reason why I couldn't be a stutterer in good shape as opposed to a stutterer who, I don't want to say was overweight, but maybe was a little soft.
Sure.
For some reason, I equated that if I was a stutterer, that I would also not be athletic. And I'm not really sure where that came from, but I quickly began to realize that I could be athletic and a stutterer. Yeah, so I think Joseph Sheehan was really onto something here. Do you have time for one more topic?
Absolutely.
So what I really like about Joseph Sheehan is that he says some things that I don't necessarily agree with. Not a lot of them, but yeah, some things that I think are interesting. So in a really wonderful book, Effective Counseling in Stuttering Therapy by the Stuttering Foundation, it's their publication 18, there's a bunch of chapters that are really great in this book. There's one chapter I really love by Patricia Zabrowski, Understanding and Coping with Emotions. But the Joseph Sheehan chapter in this Effective Counseling book, it's really interesting too. And he has a short part on acceptance that I think is, I keep saying interesting, but it is interesting. He wrote, quote, acceptance of the problem belongs at the start of therapy, not at the finish. You know, so it makes me think about acceptance, where I think it was Wendell Johnson who said, we do the best we can and we accept the rest. And here's Joseph Sheehan saying, well, we start therapy with acceptance, but that's not where we end. And I don't know a lot of people who do this work who would say that. So I'm going to read it one more time and ask you to comment. Acceptance of the problem belongs at the start of therapy, not at the finish. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this whole idea and this word acceptance has meant, I feel like, just such different things to me over the course of my life and my journey with stuttering. Because if you would have asked me 6 months ago, you know, do you accept your stuttering? Do you know what acceptance is? It'd be like, yeah, of course I accept my stuttering, and I know exactly what it is. But it seems like it is changing for me, and it has changed again now in the sense where I feel like it's just incredibly liberating and helpful to say I'm a stutterer all the time, and just continually remind myself when any of those negative feelings about stuttering come up, or if I want to, you know, if I'm trying to subconsciously pretend to be fluent in a situation, reminding myself of that. But going back to your question, the more I learn and the more I think about stuttering, it's just, I agree with Joseph Sheehan. I don't know how it can be any other way. You just have to. You have to accept it, like right from the beginning, in order to be able to change.
Hmm. And let me just take a short soapbox here and say that this topic of acceptance has been coming up a lot recently. I think it's going to be a focus in some journal articles in the near future. And I just think that I fully support acceptance, but then the question is, what's acceptance? And there are people in the stuttering world who hear about accepting stuttering, and they are concerned about that, whether they're people who stutter or professionals. And I think it's really incumbent upon us, the people who preach about acceptance, to really explain what it means. I mean, I love how Woody Starkweather and Janet Givens-Ackerman wrote in their book that accepting stuttering is not necessarily approval. And for other people, accepting stuttering is approval. And I think that with any word like fluency or stuttering or acceptance, I think we really have to be specific in how we use it, because, you know, on some level, when people say I accept stuttering, they mean that I'm no longer going to pretend I don't do this, that I'm going to look at. And that's different than saying I love being a stutterer. I happen to love being a stutterer, but I think that if we look at all the wealth of acceptance, maybe there's more specific or careful language we could be pursuing. Not we as in you and me, but we as a field. Because I think we need to be as specific as possible, because a lot of people, they go to an NSA conference, they go to a friends conference, they hear us talking on Stutter Talk about acceptance, and they might just assume that we don't want to do anything to help ourselves. Yeah,
that is such a good point that you make about acceptance can mean a completely different thing from one person to the next. And at the same time, it's, you know, you think acceptance and change are two completely different things, but like for me right now, when I'm doing this thing where every situation I go into, I'm telling myself I'm a stutterer. I need to figure out how to make myself comfortable. And that this new acceptance is a catalyst for change. So they're not opposites at all. They're one of them is completely helping and aiding me in being able to make more changes in regards to my stuttering that I think are positive and appropriate.
Yeah, so you're really talking about acceptance as movement, and I really loved how I think it was Wendell Johnson who was making the point that you accept where you are now, you look at it, you make changes, you readjust, and it's like this cycle of really identifying what you're doing and accepting that this is what you're doing right now. How would you like to change it? You take your risk, you take your chances, and you then reassess of where you are. You accept where you are, and you keep making changes. So I really like that idea of fluid acceptance that means you're in motion. But I will tell you, there are people I know from the self-help movement who may view acceptance as, well, I stutter. I'm just going to continue to stutter. I'm not going to work on changing my stutter, and that's fine. I accept it. So I think acceptance can really mean different things at different times to different people. So,
and at the same time, and I know you agree with this, that attitude can be totally healthy and productive as well.
Oh, yeah.
Having that feeling can be exactly what you need.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it's out. That's why there's so many complexities in this, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And my request or suggestion to people is that when we use language, any language such as acceptance, we try to be clear about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, Joel, you are such a pleasure to have on the show. I feel that you are on fire, and I love to feed off of that. It excites me. I mean, I have to say that some of this Joseph Sheehan stuff I thought I had read, and when I go back and I look at it, I think to myself, wow, I really didn't read that as closely as I thought. So thank you for bringing it to my attention.
And I just have to say it, that, you know, I know there's been probably countless stutterers who have gone through some kind of Joseph Sheehan, quote, revelation, as our friend Mike Boyle put it in this Facebook conversation I was having that we've been referring to. And I feel really lucky and really fortunate about when something like this happens, where, and I think it's important, but that I'm able to kind of sort through it and bounce ideas off of you and come on Stutter Talk, because I know that's something that I really feel lucky and fortunate to be able to do and be able to be a part of. So I truly do appreciate all of this, and it just really helps me process things and understand what I'm going through.
Well, the pleasure is ours. Your shows, your B-Team shows, making me have to bring my A-game every week. So, and, you know, I have to say, you know, so many listeners write about the B-Team. Take a minute, go onto iTunes, and let the world know why you love the B-Team. It helps Stutter Talk, and which in turn helps get the show out there, which in turn helps more people hear about stuttering. So, Joel, thank you so much for joining me on this wonderful episode, if I say so myself. Stutter Talk can be contacted 206-666-5340, stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. If you send an email, we will respond. If you leave a voice message, we probably won't be able to respond, but we sure will listen.
And there was one very short quote I just wanted to put out there as we close. It's probably my favorite quote, I think, of all time, stuttering related, but from Joseph Sheehan, is that you can stutter your way out of this problem.
Oh, and I love that. I love that quote too, and I know that is in advice to those who stutter. A Message to a Stutterer, which is a Stuttering Foundation book. Why don't you read the quote one last time?
From Joseph Sheehan, he says, "You can stutter your way out of this problem."